You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even the tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. I'm Pastor AJ, your host this evening. Today's teaching, do we hinder or help God's Word? One of my pet peeves is denomination. No, I don't think you shouldn't belong to a church. No, I don't believe you should be wrong in belonging to a group. But what bothers me the most today is that most people, when you ask them their beliefs or who they are religiously, they will say, I am Assemblies, I am a Baptist, I am a Methodist. It is so rare for anyone to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. Where did we go wrong, people? Let's look back at Jesus' own words. This is his final prayer recorded in the Bible. In John chapter 17, starting in verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. He continues in 17:20, saying, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, and you in I, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you have sent me. He goes on in verse 22 to say, and the glory which you gave me I give to them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Did you get the gist here? Three times Jesus prays for you and I as Christians to be one. But the key is that we are to be one, that the world may believe that God sent Jesus. We are to be one, that the world may know that the Father in heaven sent His Son for the salvation of the world. Now, when we have so much division in the church itself, how will they ever see the love of God? Just in our ministry alone, in the last 30 days, we received several attacks, not because of a doctrinal stand, not because we were telling this group that they were wrong and evil, but simply because we questioned on holiness and righteousness and on certain published beliefs, how those could be considered holy and righteous. We never condemned them. We never said they were wrong. We just asked their opinion. And instead of getting an opinion back, we were viciously attacked as horrible backsliders that we would ever question this religious group. How can you and I, my friend, be one in Jesus when there is this division. Everyone has the truth. Have you ever noticed that? It doesn't matter what religious group you belong to. If you're a Baptist, someone there will tell you they have the truth. If you're a Methodist, someone there will tell you they have the truth. If you're Assemblies of God, someone there will tell you they have the gift of the Spirit and the truth, the way, the light. I hate to tell you, my friends, but Jesus said, I am the way, the life, the truth, and the only way unto the Father is through me. He didn't say the only way unto the Father is through the Assemblies of God. The only way unto the Father is the Baptist. The only way unto the Father is the Methodist, the Episcopalians, the Catholics. And I can go on and on and on. There's over 3,000 religions in America alone. How can we say we are one with the Father when we can't even be one in the body? There is only one truth, one word, one way, and that is the Word of God that's in the written Bible. It has nothing to do with what man has written. It has to do with what God wrote in His Word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In fact, the body is not one member, but many. We need to get past this point. We're at the end times, my friend. And if we want the world to see Jesus, we can't have the strife and division that's going on within the church today. When the New Testament church was founded, there was 120 people in the upper room when the Spirit came down. When the Spirit came down, they stepped outside and started preaching the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved that day. We have no recorded history in the New Testament that those 120 people went out and formed 120 different religions with 120 different basic beliefs so that they could preach their gospel. They preached the Word of God as it was given by the Spirit to them. And that's where we've gotten off, my friends. Do we help or hinder God's work? Do you personally help or hinder God's work? We have to king this down to a one-on-one, because Jesus' prayer was talking individually here. He says, I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me. That's 12. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. He goes on to say, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I, my friend. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are one in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you have sent me. There's where we've fallen, my friend. John 17:20 and 21. Jesus' prayer isn't answered. It can't be answered. When there's 3,000 plus religious denominations in this country, it can't be answered, because we are not one. We are not one with the Father and the Son. And if you believe that your particular group, no matter who you are, has the truth, how can you be one with the rest of the body? Because you've already built up a wall that tells you you are better than them. The Bible tells us God loves a humble and contrite heart, a humble and broken soul. When you have an arrogance that I have the way and the truth, when you have an arrogance that I have the gift and therefore I can't work with this other group, you don't have a humble and contrite soul. You don't have a humble heart. In Matthew 12, 25 through 26, Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the devil. And he says, 12, 25, and 26, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? In Luke chapter 9, 49 and 50, now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons by your name, and we forbid him because he does not follow with us. And Jesus said, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. In Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. We brought a young couple into the church about a year ago, 7-8 months. And this young lady and her husband, she went back to her home in West Virginia. And the church that she attended there, the group she attended there, she told them of her salvation and her love for Jesus and how she had come back to Jesus and how she had had demons cast out of her and how she wanted to grow in the Lord. And that church told her that because she wasn't worshiping with them and their religious group, she was going to hell. They told her that all other churches that weren't in their group, all other churches that didn't have their beliefs, were going to hell. And because of the fact that she saw the love and care in Mary and I and His Will Ministry, and because of the fact that she had been brought to the Lord again through this, she was so confused, she decided that she'd better stop going to church entirely. Because if she was going to hell for being with us, and all other religions were going to hell because they didn't follow this one group's teaching, therefore, why was it worth the effort? Why would she bother? What did Jesus say? That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He says, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. What did this group show her? Did they show her a oneness? Did they show her Jesus' love? Did she see in their eyes that God had sent His Holy Son to her for her salvation? No. She backed off of going to church at all. She gave up because of the fact that they condemned all other religions. We attend occasionally a group called Restoration Ministries. It's a group that tries to reach out, like we do, to many of the people that the mainstream congregations won't reach out to. Bikers. The ones of the world. That church belongs to no major denomination, no major religion. They are a very independent Christian body. And they preach love to these people. And most of the people that come through the doors have been hurt by someone's religious, quote-unquote, beliefs. We have attended one denomination that we worked with that wouldn't even allow a man to be a deacon if he'd been divorced. It didn't matter whether he'd been divorced before he ever even became a Christian and could repent of the sin. He was not worthy to work for the Lord. We as mankind have created so many different thoughts in our heads, and we've told people they're gods. There is one religious group that has grown so gigantic that there is nothing but controversy and problems now because many deep, dark, evil secrets are coming out about it. I just read a report the other day that one of their priests was convicted of satanic worship in their church. This is what happens when man gets involved with God's Word. When we start changing God's word, we can no longer be one. We can no longer be what Jesus wanted us to be. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How will his kingdom stand? Have you ever noticed one thing about evil? His kingdom isn't divided. His kingdom always has one thing in mind: catching us off guard, taking us down, bringing us into his world. Our kingdom is divided. We, my friends, are a divided kingdom. We no longer are one like the disciples were on the day of Pentecost. Those 120 men had one thing in mind and one thing only in mind: to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what was most important: the salvation of souls, the help of souls. They were one. And 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost repented and saw that they were one. Jesus made it plain and clear: that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and started to preach, those people knew something was different. Yes, it was the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and other languages, but they knew something was different, and they were convicted to the quick. Peter got up and told them, "You crucified the Christ." You know, you and I both know the world was very small at that time, and those people had heard about what had happened in Jerusalem, had heard about the riots, had heard about this man named Jesus being crucified. But the odds are most of those people standing there with Peter had nothing directly to do with it. But did you hear one of them stand up and say, "I wasn't there, I didn't do it, I didn't kill him"? No, Peter accused them. And 3,000 were pricked to the heart, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" That's what happens with unity in the body when we let God's Spirit work through us. But we don't do that anymore. We all go off in our separate directions. Can you imagine what would happen today if every religious group in America combined forces and said, "The Bible is the holy, inspired Word of God, and we have only one purpose in our ministries, one purpose in our church, one purpose, and that is to reach out and save souls." Jesus said in Matthew 9:36-38, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were tired and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" How many of us are like that, weary and scattered, having no true shepherd to lead us? How many of you are in that position? Is your day-to-day concern saving one more soul for Jesus? Is your day-to-day concern thinking, "That neighbor may die today without Jesus"? I know it's not something we really like to think about. It's not something we put in our minds, but we should. We are told that God called us, that God brought us to him for a purpose, and that purpose is for us to tell others about Jesus. Not to tell them about our religion, not to tell them about our church, not to tell them about our beliefs, because we've been taught and brainwashed into what we believe, but to tell them that Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected for our sins. And that's the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' own words. When you go out in the day and you see people working around you, how do you look at them? When you're driving down the freeway and people cut you off, how do you look at them? When you get into the office and it's hectic and crazy, how do you look at them? Do you look at them as, oh, I want to make them part of my congregation. I want to get them into church. Or do you look at them, I want to save them from hell. My favorite saying is the truth. I don't care, my friend, whether you believe in hell or not. God does, and you're going if you don't have Jesus. And that's the way we need to be one with God. God's soul, hopes, and dreams would be that every single person in this world is saved. We are told in the Bible that hell enlarges itself daily. And that is not God's dream or wish for hell. He doesn't want his people there. He wants them in eternity in heaven. Don't think that somebody you pass on the street is going to be told about Jesus by someone else. Because that person you pass on the street could round the corner out of sight and be hit by a car. That person you see pass on the street could lay down that night and take and go to bed and never wake up in the morning. You may be the last one to talk to that person about Jesus. That is what we need to be concerned with today. Not our religious groups, not the numbers we can put in our buildings, but how many souls find Jesus. There is a program circulating around today, and all the churches are going for it. And the main purpose of that program is numbers, numbers, numbers. What good does it do, my friend, to have a church with 1,000 or 10,000 people in it if those people come to church on Sunday morning and then go home and there's no difference in their lives? Yes, they've heard a pretty sermon. Yes, they might have been touched momentarily, but when they go back out into the world, you can't tell the difference. Now, I'm not God, and I'm not making a judgment on who is saved and who isn't saved. All I'm telling you is, do you help or hinder God's work with your beliefs? Do you help or hinder God's work with your life? Do you help or hinder God's work with the way you live? We are to be one with Jesus and the Father, not one with our religious group, not one with our church, not one with our congregation, not one with our pastor's ideas, not one with some great evangelistic ministry. We are to be one with Jesus and the Father, and only by being one with Christ are we going to reach the world. Only by being one with Christ are we going to reach the world. I have seen in my lifetime too many people that don't want to have a thing to do with religion. And that's what they see Jesus as, religion. They have been hurt by a church. They have been hurt by somebody beating them over the head with the Bible. They have not been loved. If you look at Jesus' life, my friend, you'll see one thing about Jesus' life. He loved. He loved to the point where it hurt. Even when he took the Pharisees and the Sadducees on the carpet and called them hypocrites and whitewashed tombs, even when he told them, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have missed your visitation," he wept and cried bitterly for them because he loved them. Jesus loved people into the kingdom. He didn't bring them in because he had a religion or a church. He brought them in because that was the will of the Father. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard my words, you've heard the Father's." Jesus spoke, breathed, ate, drank, lived what the Father wanted. When the disciples came to him about being hungry, he told them he had food that they did not know of. They didn't think on a spiritual plane. No, they thought that he had gotten food from somewhere else, but Jesus was talking about the love of the Father. Be ye one, as he and the Father are one, and that way the world will know. When Jesus saw the multitudes in Matthew 9, 36 and 38, and told us to pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvesters, he was looking at the multitudes and their sicknesses and their hurts. And he was looking at them as lost sheep because they had nowhere to go. And he knew that we had the powers to help them, if only we would. It's up to you, my friend. There's millions and millions out there that need Jesus. There's millions out there that need Jesus. And you're only one person. But for every one person you tell Jesus is the Savior, for every one person that you tell how much Jesus loves, that's one less person that will be standing before God not knowing the Lord. I want to share this. This was written over 100 years ago by an impassioned preacher. Oh, the time is now that we must awake and seek the good of the dying multitudes. Do we realize and know that souls, precious, ever-dying souls, are perishing all around us, going into darkness of blackness and despair, eternally lost? Yet do we feel no anguish, shed no tears? How cold are our hearts? We must wake up and seek the good of the dying masses. The powers of evil are always active. We may sleep, but Satan never sleeps. Our plow lies in the field, far off, rusting in a furrow. But the plow of Satan goes across the earth from end to end of his great field. His plow goes deep while we sleep. That was written over 100 years ago, my friends. Satan never sleeps. His plow continues to go forth. He never stops. Do we? My friend, be one with God. Don't hinder God's work. Ask yourself this question. Do you help or hinder God's work with your ideas? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through Him do we come to the Father. Not through a church body, not through a religious group, not through Sunday morning services. Only through Jesus Christ do we come to the Father. And only through Jesus Christ will anyone else get to the Father. We need to tell them about Jesus, not what church we attend.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.